Good morning. We're just finishing up the Hebrews 6 series, the last of seven topics. And the last topic is eternal judgment. And we've read it a number of times now, but Hebrews 6 says, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. So this is the last of the series. Over the last probably 3 months, we've just been redressing all the basic doctrines that we hold dear in the church that we believe, and what is the scriptural foundations for that. So today is eternal judgment. We make judgments every day, don't we? We make judgments over what breakfast cereal we're going to eat, what clothes we're going to wear, decisions in traffic, work-related decisions, school-related decisions. We make judgments every day. You're probably judging this talk as I'm speaking. Probably looking at my tie going, gee, that's a bit of an old tie. I wore that tie before. So we make judgments almost every second of the day. We're making judgments and weigh the consequences of those judgments and consequences of our actions. A simple example is in traffic. We're driving along, we weigh the consequence of doing something against the damage to the car, a fine, or even something worse, you know, causing the injury to somebody else. And so we measure our judgments. We measure our action against what we do in traffic, for example, and we're continually making adjustments so we don't hit anybody and we're careful and we're, you know, we show our intentions on the road. So that's a lot of a judgment there, isn't there? There is judgment within the church too. And how does judgment apply to us? As I guess what we're trying to address today, judgment for you and I within this dispensation. We're not going to particularly look at Old Testament judgment. We're just going to stick in the New Testament and how it applies to the church, in particular two areas within the church and without the church, outside the church, how judgment applies. But there's a really important concept and principle when we're looking at judgment. And Jesus said it in John chapter 7 and verse 24. So let's turn to that. So it says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So that is a key principle in judgment, that our judgment needs to be righteous. And there is only really one entity in this world that can be completely righteous in his judgment, that is God, because he sees everything. We try to do our best in the church. We gather the facts to the best of our ability, but we certainly don't see everything. But God sees everything. So God is the righteous judge. He is not swayed by money or status or public opinion, what people may perceive of him. He is absolutely impartial and absolutely righteous in every decision he makes and every judgment he makes. And that's a really good fallback point to think about, that God is absolutely righteous in everything he does. He does not judge according to appearance, how we may look, but according to what we do and also the intentions of our heart. He measures it all. It is the most balanced judgment you'll ever get when God makes a judgment over our life, because he considers all things. He is the righteous judge. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, just the same statement again, but just reinforcing it. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So hallelujah for that. that God is absolutely righteous in everything he does and every decision he makes over our life. And he has this other thing called love, which works with that to help us on our journey with God. So as I mentioned before, there's two areas of judgment in this age, in this dispensation, that is judgment within the church and judgment outside the church. So we'll deal firstly with judgment within the church, and there's four particular areas I wanted to look at this morning. And the first one is judging ourselves. Judgment within the church is judging ourselves. The Bible allows us to make judgments about ourselves. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 31. And it says, "For we, if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged." So that judgment is, of course, Jesus Christ coming back, and whether we go up or we stay down, that is ultimately our judgment. And we're always judging ourselves against that, against the Word of God, the truth, and the Spirit that moves within us and leads us unto the truth. God will reveal those things which he needs to reveal to us, for us to continue to walk in the Holy Ghost. He prompts us, he leads us, he guides us, directs us. And we make judgments against that. We can fight against the will of God, we can fight against the moving and unction of the Holy Ghost, or we can go with it. Allow God to lead you, and as God leads us, we can be confident that we'll meet the Lord in the air as the Holy Ghost leads us. So God has given us this responsibility. He's handed it over to us. He's given us our own walk to look after. It's no one else's walk. It's our own responsibility. It's not the pastor's responsibility. It's not your brother and sister's responsibility. It's your responsibility, your own walk, which is where we want it to be, isn't it? It's just you and God, ultimately, and our reaction and our connection with him. And as God leads us and directs us, we make judgments over our own life. We make corrections. We repent. We make decisions in our walk that keeps us on the path of walking with Jesus Christ. This is judging ourselves. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, let's turn to that. And it says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves." So that is the judgment question, that we are to examine ourselves. And look, you know, look into the mirror. And what's the mirror? The Bible, the Word of God. And sometimes it shows imperfections in us, doesn't it? We look into the mirror and we go, that's not too good. And it can be very revealing, the Word of God, as a mirror is very real, really revealing first thing in the morning. We look in the mirror and go, not too good. Improvements to be made. And same it is with the Word of God. We look into it and the Word of God corrects us, and it's such a powerful tool for us to stay on the path. So the mirror of God, the Word of God, is very revealing for us. And we're not to be fearful of it, the things that it is to reveal to us. We are to take the correction. Mostly God just leads us and comforts us and directs us, but sometimes God actually does move mightily upon us, the Holy Ghost, to correct something in our life. And we either resist that or we go with it and allow God to have his way with us. This is part of the process of judgment. And our judgment will be, of course, when Jesus Christ comes back. But I think we can have a great confidence that we'll make it as we are going through this process of refining, of looking into the mirror, of seeing the reflection coming back and seeing the image of Jesus Christ. That is the image we want to see, the Lord reflected in the mirror through the Word of God. So we are the first to judge ourselves, and that's a great place to start. So the second one regarding judgment within the church is judging our brother. Now, This is fraught with danger. It's treacherous waters. I just make those simple comments. But let's turn in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. So it's Matthew 7 verse 1. We have these really good principles here. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what you judge, you shall be judged. The same measure you use will be used against you. So if you're really tough and hard on other people, it will be applied to you. And that's a scary thing, isn't it? It's a scary thing. You shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, you shall be measured unto you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? You try to fix your brother, which has this little toothpick in his eye, and you've got this big forby too, hanging out of your eye like this. And everywhere you move, it's banging into people, right? And you're trying to correct everybody, because you know everything, and you've got this big beam hanging out of your face, and you're trying to pick out the speck out of your brother's eye. This is what the scripture's saying. Don't judge your brother, because normally the fault is with who? You. You've got this big beam hanging out of your eye, and you're trying to fix your brother or sister who's doing some minor thing that's irritating you. Don't judge your brother or sister. And this goes on in verse 4. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the little speck out of your eye, behold the massive, great, enormous, ginormous beam in your own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote that is in our brother's eye. In other words, look at yourself first. If you go to try to correct somebody, dangerous, is the correction with you first? Are you more critical of somebody else than you are of yourself? Do you allow yourself ease? Do you allow yourself off easily and then be critical of everybody else? Yeah, I did that because of all these other reasons, but you are a terrible person. This is judgment, and it's a terrible place to be, being judgmental of other people, when often it is with ourselves and dealing with our own headspace and our own issues, and we try to find fault with others. Be careful how we judge. Don't go there. If you have a problem with a brother or sister, send them a scripture. Pray for them. Talk to your oversight. Love your brother or sister. That's a much better way to go. And God will eventually help you deal with yourself, or help your brother or sister if there in fact is something that needs to be dealt with there. But we've got to be so careful with judging one another in the church, and thinking that we know something about somebody else, when we know nothing. God is the ultimate righteous judge. He knows all things. He can see all things. And he knows all the facts in the case. So God will ultimately bring to bear and reveal those things which need to be revealed about a matter. And we can just rest in that and allow God to do his job. So don't look for fault in someone else, because most likely the fault is with you, I would say. Not always the case, it's a generalisation, but it's good to start with you first and then move out from there. Pray for your brother, talk to the oversight if you're concerned, we'll help as much as we can. We'll get God involved, we'll get the Word of God involved, we'll counsel, we'll direct, we'll do the godly thing, as much as is within our human capacity to do. Because we are certainly limited human beings. Okay, judgment. Another type of judgment is judgment by God. So let's go to 1 Peter 4, verse 17. This is judgment within the church continuing. A judgment by God. So we had judge ourselves, judge our brother. Now we're talking about judgment by God. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. God is upholding the church to the world as the standard of righteousness. He is upholding to the world as the church as the standard of righteousness. This is his shining beacon, the church of God, to uphold his standards. And that's what he's presenting to the world. And if there's something that needs to be fixed in the church of God, he does it. And he'll move his Holy Ghost within the church. He'll use his word. He'll reveal the matter in due time. We cannot hide from God. Let's not even go down that track going on trying to hide this from the church or hide this from God. You can't. God knows. And he allows us and he gives us time to repent and to sort ourselves out and to do the godly thing. So it says here, judgment must begin at the house of God. Why? Because it's his standard for the world and will be upheld as the standard in the eons to come. So that's why it must begin at the household of God first. He did it with Israel in the Old Testament. He sorted them out. Begin at the house of God, and if it begin, first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner be? So we are God's standard. So of course he's going to be working within the church to maintain that standard. And we can fight him, or we can allow him to have his way with us. We can be submissive unto him and going, okay, Lord, have your way with me and do those things which are necessary within me to maintain the standard of righteousness, to keep the world out of the church. Because we don't want the church to become like the world, because God will then judge the church like he will judge the world. They are two totally separate things. The church is this righteous standard, and then we've got the world, which is every other standard that you can imagine. We've got to keep the world out of the church, and that's the function of the oversight, and not only the oversight. It's the responsibility of all brothers and sisters to be applying those standards in their own lives, and to helping where they can help to maintain the standards that God has set up. Hebrews 10 verse 30. That's another scripture to support the same concept. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongs unto me, I will recompense, says the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. If the church becomes like the world, immorality, fraud, lying, deceit, God will judge the church just as harshly as he'll judge the world. He's impartial, he's the absolute righteous judge, and God is not mocked. We can't fool him for a second. So allow God to have his way with you. Allow him to direct and to lead you. Romans 14, verse 10. And it says, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set at nothing your brother? For we shall stand all before the judgment seat of Christ. This is talking about when we're resurrected and we're standing before the Lord. We shall give an account of our ministry, account of our talents that God has given to us. God will ask, well, what have you done with all the things that I've given to you? He'll ask that question. This is what this scripture is actually saying to us. We shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And God will ask us what we have done with the talents we have got. Now, some of us have got one talent and two talents and five and ten, whatever talents we may have, we know what we're capable of doing. And if we're doing those things and we're not striving over our work, not killing ourselves serving the Lord, but we're doing what God has called us to do, well then, hallelujah. That's a good place to be. But if we can contribute more to the church and we know we have abilities and we're sitting on those abilities because of other things in our life, well, please reconsider. Please recommit yourself to God, to serve God, because there is great blessing in serving the living God. God will make a wonderful blessing in your life. And it goes on in verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I believe that's a post-resurrection scripture. I believe that's when we're raised to meet God in the air, Jesus Christ in the air, that's when that applies. Him continuing to bring judgment upon the house of God. So if you've got one talent and you're using that one talent, we'll rejoice with you. But if you've got one talent and you're sitting on the one talent, don't. Please get involved in the church. There's plenty of things to do. There's plenty of things to help with. We're happy to give you a job if you want a job. Get involved. Be proactive. If you see something that needs to be done, do it. Do something for God, because there's great blessing in serving God. That's where the blessing is. And that's how we stay focused in the Lord, by not looking at ourselves and what we can get out of the church, but how we can help our brothers and sisters in their walk in the Lord. For in doing that, God blesses us and we bear great fruit as a result of helping others, so that we give and then we receive back. That is the principle in the Bible, a servant's attitude. And when we have that attitude, God really does bless us. But if we come to the meeting and go, me, I didn't get anything out of that, I didn't get anything out of the church, reassess. Go on and examine yourself and ask God to help you understand, help you be involved. Serve each other, and then you'll see the blessing in your life. Your whole mindset will change from being critical to being, what can I do for you, Lord, today? That is where we should be at. And then we can stand before the judgment seat of Christ with a great confidence that, yep, I've done all that I can do for God. And that's only something that you can judge. I can't judge that for you. I can see certain abilities within people in the church. But ultimately, it's between you and God and what you decide before God and what God reveals to you. Okay, that's the third. Number four, oversight. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. So we've been talking about judgment, and the oversight allowed to make any judgment in the church? It's a good question to ask. 1 Corinthians 6, 2. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? There you go. And if you shall judge, and if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that you shall judge angels? How much more shall you judge things pertaining unto this life? So we are allowed to make judgment within the church. It's an obvious thing. We make lots of practical decisions in the church about administration, about finance, about building this building, for example, about buying the block of land. We make all these sort of judgments as oversight. We make decisions about the standards in the church regarding immorality and so forth. And we compare that against the Word of God. And that is God giving that responsibility to the oversight to make those judgments, to keep the church righteous and to keep it as it should be. If people make mistakes, we want to restore those people. It's not about beating them around the head and punishing them. It's about helping them understand their mistakes and restoring them into the love of God, restoring their relationship with God so that they can come to a place of absolute repentance and joy and peace with God. That's the purpose of, you know, the oversight trying to help the church. Not standing over people with a big stick. That model does not work. It's leading the church as Jesus Christ would lead sheep, quietly and effectively talking and not beating the sheep around with a stick, but leading the sheep gently. That's the model that Jesus Christ set up. That is the model that the oversight should be doing. But there is to be judgment in the church. There is judgments to be made regarding all sorts of things. And the oversight does try to do its best. Try to get all the facts regarding the situation, looks at the Word of God, prays about it, seeks God's will in the matter, asks God to reveal what needs to be revealed, counsels the person, has a number of different counseling sessions depending on what it may be, to bring him to a place where they understand what needs to be fixed. That is the function of the oversight, to lead and to correct and to help them come to a place of understanding. That is the Bible model. But there is a warning to the oversight, which I like. Galatians 6, verse 1. That the oversight are not to become full of themselves and think that they're better than anybody else. This is what this scripture says, Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault and you which are spiritual, restore such a one as one in the spirit of meekness, consider yourself, unless you be tempted also. So you are to restore those that make mistakes, but consider yourself over, also, Mr. Oversight, that you don't make the same mistakes, because you have just as much potential to make the same mistakes as those you are counselling. So don't think yourself more righteous or more holy than those that you're trying to restore to the church. And this is it's a great place to think about when you're in oversight, to consider yourself also, those who are in oversight, not to think more righteously, more highly than they ought to think regarding their role in the church. A God-appointed position, surely, but not to rule and to reign over God's people, but to help and to direct as God would have us to be. It's a very sobering warning that we are all able to make mistakes, and they're all have the same sort of flesh desiring things, and the oversight has to be just as careful and not to be self-righteous regarding helping others in the church. So that's a warning to the oversight in the church to consider themselves also and to examine their attitude when they're helping those who have fallen and trying to restore such a one to the church, to consider themselves also and not to be self-righteous. Okay, so that's judgment within the church. Those four particular aspects of ourselves, judging our brother, judgment by God, and judgment by the oversight. And now there is a judgment outside the church. Acts 17, verse 31. I covered a bit of this 2 weeks ago when we talked about resurrection. We didn't talk about it. I talked about it. You'd listened. We looked at resurrection. So Acts 17, verse 31, it says, because he hath appointed a day in which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that men whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. So the world isn't going to go on endlessly from one sort of disaster to the next, as we see in the world today, and it's grievous to watch. But there is a day, a date in the mind of God when he'll bring it all to an end, and every man, woman, and child shall stand before God unto judgment. And for me, that would be a very scary place to be. Not having the standards of God in your life, following some your own standards, which whatever they may be in this world, then trying to stand before God going, well, you know, I did this and I did that because I thought that was the right thing to do. You got nowhere to go. So it'd be a very scary thing to stand before God with the police explain. So it's a great place to be in the church, because God has then given the judgment to who? To us. He's given it to us to make those judgments against the word of God. And it's a wonderful privilege that he's given to you and I to be able to make those assessments instead of going to an exam at the end of our life not knowing what the result will be. Hebrews 9, verse 27. Just another scripture on the same thought. I'll just read it to you. I've got another one here. So Hebrews 9, 27 says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And the last scripture we'll just go to, Revelation 20, verse 12. So what are the standards that God will judge the world against? How will God judge the world? It's not by intention, it's by action. That's how God will judge the world. And I covered this quite a bit a couple of weeks ago, but I'll just pick out this single scripture. The whole chapter 20 of Revelation is very insightful and reveals a lot about the judgment of God and what God will do after the 1,000 years of peace. But we're just picking it out here in verse 12. And I saw the dead and the small and great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened. So there's multiple books. Books and books. That's three books. Which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. So the world will be judged according to their works. To a certain extent, we will be too. It's works of faith that we'll be judged according to, won't we? And how we apply those things which God has given to us. It is a real privilege to be in the church and to judge our own walk according to the standards of God that he has given to us through the Spirit of God, and maintaining that level and standard of righteousness. He has given that us. He's given that responsibility to us to walk in it, so that we won't be judged. And all the people said, Amen.